you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together on this Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. And some of you might say, Mark, it's the 10th month in the year, and you're still given that it's 2017. I think we know by now. But because these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org, it's kind of the official way to launch right into the exact date and day that this broadcast was recorded and then archived for those of you that may listen to it at a future point, or maybe something that was said or shared or referred to is of interest to somebody you know. You can copy the link, paste it into an email, and send it on to them, and they'll know what day it was recorded. So, though I know you know what year it is Wednesday, and it is October 4th, and yesterday, Jason, as Marianne was in the studio, along with a special guest, the pastor down the road, Eric, from First Christian here at Lincoln Square, we were talking about this year is just marching along. I mean, we're into October, and I shared the story of, I think it was Samuel. Were you at Lowe's when you were talking about they were seeing all the Christmas trees set out?
That was the other
day. They started talking about their Christmas list, and you're like, wait a minute, it hasn't even gotten to be Halloween, and then there's Thanksgiving, and you're like, get away from, I made the comment, like, get away from that tree, and Marianne started laughing. Did you share that in church on Sunday?
I'm not sure I may have, but yeah, that was last week. The guys were putting it up, and when we walked into kind of there, they have a semi-outdoor area, and we had walked into that area where they usually have all their lawn furniture and all that.
Right.
They were building all the big light-up snowmen and all the trees, and the guys, there's two guys doing it, and Samuel's like, whoa! And the guys looked like, oh, no. You know, like, here comes the kids. And, you know, Samuel's like, wow, Christmas. I'm like, no. We still have to trick-or-treat and gobble-gobble before we can get anywhere near that.
Yeah.
But they're not holding back. Although I was at Hobby Lobby not too long ago, and they were full-on Christmas. I think they do that, like, right after July.
Yeah.
They just get the Christmas ornaments out and go nuts.
Yeah, 'tis the season. We mentioned we had our little display up front with the Christmas trees, but that's promoting It's a Wonderful Life at the Myers Dinner Theater. But yeah, it's just like, you know, the capitalistic society to get it out early, get it out earlier. You know, you're competing with everyone else that's getting it out earlier, and it's the season. But the weather's been great, and it's been a good fall season, and just enjoying the time of year that it is, and being able to still get out and do things and have an enjoyable time with family and friends. And the Singing Men, on Monday night, a couple days ago, we began on our Christmas music, as we're already planning. We're going to be presenting at Marketplace Mall and then also at the Danville Mall. So we'll have all those dates in the days ahead. But men, if you have a desire to sing and declare the wonders of God and can only make a short-term commitment maybe now through the end of the year, this would be a great time to join the Singing Men of GNN. And we meet from 7 to 9 p.m. here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square, and it'd be a great time this coming Monday to join us as we're transitioning.
How many guys are in the Singing Men?
Active is about 40.
You have, like, reserves to the bench if you got to call them up or what?
Well, some of the guys, like, for the Christmas time, they go to Florida, or during the tax season, they kind of pull out for a while, or because of farming and such, they're in the field. So I would say active is pretty close to about 40. In fact, I think this Saturday we're singing the national anthem at our first soccer game. So we've done hockey, we've done football, we've done basketball, men and women's, we've done volleyball women's, we've done baseball.
Yeah.
And the gymnastics, they've asked us, but we couldn't coordinate that. I think we're going to do that later.
It'd be coordinated to do gymnastics.
Yeah, that's right. Could coordinate those facts. But we're doing soccer, the soccer match this Saturday.
So
that's kind of fun how the Singing Men get to do those unique opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we always just pray that as these men sing that there's that aura, I don't know, the presence of Christ living and abiding in us, influencing situations and those around us, and then just having that opportunity to do that. So
There goes Marianne. Yeah, we were both thinking, what was that
what
sound?
Was that ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling? Yeah, that's interesting because last week it was, I believe it was Wednesday, Tasha and I went to a day-long thing with the Gettys. Most of our listeners will know the Gettys are Kirsten and Keith. They wrote in Christ Alone. And we had a great time in the afternoon where Keith Getty did a workshop, and we had an extended question and answer. And so the question I asked, you know, I had a whole bucket of them. I'm like, what questions? You get to ask a question. What are you going to ask? And so one of the things that, you know, on my heart, why don't men sing in church? It made me think, you know, the singing men, I mean, 40 men singing, that's awesome. But, you know, why aren't there more men singing? Because I think we do have a problem of men singing in the church. And so I asked him, I said, you know, why don't men sing in church? And it was kind of funny, you know, none of my retelling is as good because he has that Irish brogue, you know, kind of. But he said it was really a fascinating answer. The first thing he said is, you know, he kind of scrunched up his face and he kind of said, why don't men sing in church? He goes, because they're disobedient. And I thought, whoa, wait a second.
Where is he going to go with this?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was crazy. I thought, like, whoa, wait a second. I mean, we would come up with all kinds of reasons in terms of style or substance or that kind of stuff might be our first place to go. And first place he went is he said, they're disobedient. And so I said, what? You got to help me with that. What do you mean they're disobedient? He said the second most often commanded thing in the Bible to do is to sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praises to the Lord. And then there's all kind of...
Again, I say,
sing to the Lord. I got to think that's the pastor on Sunday morning. Sing. Again, I say sing. You know, we think about David, who was a man after God's own heart, who loved to sing and play, you know, the harp. But it didn't stop him from, in a moment, like killing an animal with his bare hands or, you know, going out with the mighty men and doing some damage. But he said, they're disobedient. And I was like, wow. You know, so he goes, that's my first thought. And he goes, I got another one. And I'm like, okay, well, this is going to get even better. He goes, they're apathetic. He said they're not reading their Bible during the week. They're not praying during the week. Their faith is cold. It's not hot. A man with a faith that is hot wants to sing. He wants to declare the excellencies of the Lord. You know, and so it was kind of like, whoa, wait a second. They're disobedient. They're apathetic. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then he said, but on a very practical way, he said, a lot of the modern worship music is kind of like Jesus is my boyfriend. Very kind of syrupy and very kind of, he said, a lot of that music doesn't spur what is wired into men. You know, this sense of kind of, we're fighting this thing, this sense that we're standing for God. He said, you know, if you look at all the old hymns, most of them all have at some place during the hymn this sense of kind of victory or the sense of kind of struggle or strife, you know.
Yeah, mighty fortress is God.
Let's think about that because that's one of the examples he used. And I've often thought this. Because when we get to the second verse in A Mighty Fortress, my kids pipe up. My kids, they love it. You ask who that might be. I mean, it's almost like, who is it? And the door slams open. It is Jesus. He's like, I'm back. You know? I mean, it really is. It's kind of like, that just like does something to men. Like, ask who is it? Jesus. You know, or, you know, even how great thou art. Amazing grace. They have these, you know, the trump will sound and the, you know, and Christ will descend. And you're just kind of like, I mean, even men can go like, yes, excellent. You know, versus some of the songs we sing nowadays tend to really be just emotion based, you know. And so I think guys get lost in that. They don't know what to do with that. You know, they're like, gosh, I'm trying to sing to the Lord, but it feels like I'm having a conversation with my wife, you know, like about my feelings, and I'm not really sure what to do with it. Yeah. And I'm not saying in a derogatory way, like, you know, but I think that it's difficult for men because of the way we're wired. You know, when something bad happens, most men I know don't sit down and go like, oh, how's this making me feel? They go, okay, what do I need to do? Like, what do I need to do? Or...
yeah, action steps or...
totally. And like when I was growing up, if my dad had an issue he needed to take care of, the first thing he would do is go to the garage and work on something. And I would always like, why does he do that? And my mom would tell me, she would say, he needs to think. When he's out there pounding on that thing and working on whatever he's doing, he's thinking about the thing that needs to be done. That's how, because men are doers. That's what men should be. We should be wired to do those kinds of things. And so why don't men sing? Well, number one, I think they're being disobedient. And so, I mean, if you're listening and you're a guy and you're like, gosh, I really like to sing, that is a word for you, because it really is. The Lord commands us to sing. Now, the Lord doesn't command us to sing like the... what's interesting is the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of songs to sing. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the Bible does it say only sing hymns or only sing contemporary worship or only sing this. It says sing a song that centers your hope, your affections, your desires, your perseverance, your strength, all on the Lord. One of the things he said that was really fascinating to me was that he said too much of the singing that we do on Sunday morning is professional singing. Hmm. Professional in that it was written by professionals, recorded by... I mean, just think about it. The hymns that we know and we love were not written by professional musicians. They were written by workmen in the church. They were written by people who had other jobs and loved and labored for the Lord and wrote down words. Most of them, a lot of them didn't write down the music. You know, we got the words and then somebody else came along and put music to it, or somebody worked with them and put music to it. But you think about a lot of the songs that we love and we sing, they were not written by people who were solely musicians. You know, they were workmen of the Lord. So a lot of the music that the church gets today is professional music. It's written by professionals, sung by professionals. Then we sing it on Sunday morning, and we're like, gosh, you know, it's good, but it doesn't sound the same. Yeah, that's because none of us can sing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think so many, you know, and we're under the illusion or the lie that just because it sounds good in our car when we're going down the road, that it sounds good when we sing it around other people. Everything sounds good in the car. I don't know what it is, but everything. I can sing songs.
Car in the shower.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, the car in the shower. I can sing out of my range. I don't know what it is, but I'm, you know, my wife's like, gosh, it sounds like there's a dog being killed in there. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was on. That was the best thing ever. Did you hear me? That version rocked. My wife's like, yeah, right. She's like, it sounded horrible. I came upstairs. I thought one of the kids were trapped or something. But so he says that a lot of the singing that we do is largely professional singing. And he says on Sunday morning, the singing that needs to happen is confessional singing. Hmm. Singing that confesses our need of the Lord, confesses his majesty and his greatness. And he said that professional singing has to be sung a certain way, in a certain style, in a certain way, so that it sounds good. Confessional singing can be sung in any way, shape, or form because the focus of the singing is not the singing. The focus of the singing is the confession, who the Lord is. And then one of the other things he said that really kind of took me off guard that I didn't ever think about is he said that our singing is, first of all, to the Lord, confessional, but then we sing to one another. Hmm. And he said, you know, maybe somebody comes in on a Sunday morning and their week has been really difficult. It's been really hard. They've been just been through the ringer. They need somebody to sing to them of the hope and the glory and the majesty of God. And so when we sing, we're singing up, we're, you know, vertically. We're singing the majesty of God. We're worshiping him. But when we do that, maybe our voice is singing to the person next to us, lifts them up. And elevates them, too, and helps them to pull out of the mire or the murk, wherever it is that they're stuck.
Well, I think of that verse that you've quoted before, out of Hebrews, I think, the not forsaking the assembly,
sure,
the assembling together for this probably very reason. Another thing that I think you did a teaching on, or you emphasized, maybe it was one of your Facebook posts or something, about the fact that service and worship is almost the same word.
It's the same word, yeah.
And I wonder if, like, the singing in the worship, in the act of service, if it's like a blending. Like, guys should be singing because that's just an act of worship.
Yeah, well, see, you know what we've done is we've destroyed the integrity of Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do for the Lord. We've taken it, and in that, we've parsed it out to worship is singing. The study of the word is different. Prayer is over here. So we have prayer meetings. We have a time where we learn the word. And then we have worship. If everybody saw, I did air quotes. We have worship like singing. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is prayer is worship. Singing is worship. Studying the word is worship. By the way, ironing clothes to the glory of God is worship. Taking out the trash to the glory of God is worship. Making dinner to the glory of God is worship. Lifting up, raising up your kids, doing homework with them. Everything, if you do it like Colossians 3:22 says, for the glory of Colossians 3:23, do it for the glory of the Lord. All of it is worship. Mm-hmm. And we've made worship just Sunday morning. We've made that just be Sunday morning.
And even when we think of the worship service, and I think you and I've talked about this.
We just did it. You just called it the worship service. Well,
but even the announcements should be a part of the worship service. Not like, okay, we've done announcements, now we'll return to worship. Yeah. You can even use the announcements as a time of worship to focus on service projects or needs or prayer requests. And all that is ideally as much worship if you work it right and think it through like that. That even those announcements should be driven towards helping people connect with God or focus on the needs, being a part of worship. It's not just when we sing, that's the worship, and then when you deliver the message, well, that's not so much worship, that's the study of God's Word.
Sure. Well, I mean, just think about this. So if men are called to lead, now this is not a commentary to demean women or to say women can't lead or anything. Because I know
minimize their role.
Yeah, when you say this, sometimes women are like, well, wait a second, what's he saying now? Men are called to lead. The Bible calls men to lead. And I think that women ultimately want men to lead, not lead in kind of a lording and demeaning and kind of an oppressive way, but they want men to lead and say, you know what, I love you enough, I want to lead you, and I want to bring you along, I want to love you well, I want to do all these things. I think that when men lead well and lead right, women love it. They really love it. But when men don't sing on Sunday morning, when men don't engage in the service, they're not leading. They're not leading. What's interesting is, so I've been thinking a lot about this. You know, I went to the conference thing, and I had already gotten the wheels turning, and then I had the opportunity to do this. But I had read a Barna study that said that your children's singing is directly tied to if their dad sings or not. So dads who would sing at church with their kids and sing throughout the week with their kids were more likely to sing in church also. And so it's really kind of, and I don't know how they did the study, because I thought, well, how did you do that? How did you ask that question? But they did. At least they said they did. But I thought it was really interesting, because that means that everything we do, kids are on record, so the kids are looking and they're seeing. And so not only that, but then what does singing, you know, and obviously we're talking about just the singing aspect of the worship. But look, I think that when we gather for prayer meetings, I want to know why we're not singing. I want to know why we're not singing in all those places, because I think singing is an important part. You know, more and more in our family worship that we do every morning now, we've actually it's actually working. I'm shocked by it, but it's actually working. But usually, like between 7 and 7:15 or so, kids are eating breakfast and we're around the table and we do family worship. We open up the Bible and talk about a verse or two verses. We're in Romans now because the kids just love Romans. And we sing. We're finding ourselves, and the first bit of singing was kind of awkward and kind of strange, but now it's gotten good to where the kids almost want to start it too. You know, I mean, we were talking the other day about grace, and all of a sudden Jacob goes, oh yeah, grace, grace, God's grace, grace, da, 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 da. You know, and he starts singing, and then we all chime in singing. We've got a couple hymnals in a basket on the table, and we take the hymnals out, and we kind of look up the song so we could see, but we find ourselves singing God's praises too. And you know what the interesting thing is that if we sing in the morning, then when I'm watching the kids get their backpacks and heading out the door, they're still singing. So they're singing their way into their day. And I think that is so important to do. One of the things that Keith Getty brought up during the conference that I thought, or the workshop that we did, that I thought was really fascinating, is he said, how does your singing as a church testify to new people visiting your church about your church? So when your people come to the church in that morning and they see everybody singing, from the smallest to the tallest, what does that testify to them about the church? What does it say? I mean, we think when we're engaging new visitors to the church, we're just like, we're handing them the bag or the connection card and we're welcoming them, we're shaking their hands. But really, when somebody comes to the church for the first time, they're evaluating everything that's happening in the church. They're looking at all that. Right. And so, you know, hey, the message is off the hook.
Off the charts?
Off the charts, off the hook, whatever you want to say. And look at, they got this rockin' children's ministry over here. But sheesh, did you notice, honey, that when the singing time was going, like, nobody was singing?
Yeah.
You know, what does that say? You know, because I don't know about you, but when I'm excited about stuff, I naturally sing. I don't always sing hymns and spiritual songs, but I'll get a song in my head. Now, you know, I'll be walking around the house singing it, you know, and the kids do the same thing. And so I think that when we're excited about something, that we get a song in our step and we kind of get going. So I think that sometimes singing tells us, are we excited about what's happening in the church or are we not? You know, we all pray for revival. We pray that revival will happen. And it was really interesting. Charles Spurgeon, I think, is the one who says, he says, every great revival begins with a song. And really, when you go back and you look at the revivalist movements, they all began with singing. They began with singing and praying.
Right.
Long before the message. Now, look, I'm a preacher. I love the word. I love to give the word. But none of the revival movements began with the word being preached first. They began with singing and prayer, and then the word was exhorted at some point down the road. And so I think that singing is really important. And I think that, you know, I love that you guys do the singing men. And I love this this thought of how do we get men to sing more? How do we get them to engage in being a part of the singing life of our church? For the simple fact that song, I think, will carry them into the week. But I think we have to do that. We have to really think about what we're doing.
And I'm going to close out with the singing men singing, "Rise up, O men of God," as an exhortation to have a song in your heart today, throughout the day. Allow God to use music to impress spiritual truth in your mind and heart, and think about it, sing about it. And men, this coming Monday night, I know it's a little less than a week away, join us at 7 p.m. at the Great News Radio Center, and you can sing with the Singing Men of GNN as we're launching into our Christmas repertoire. And it's a great men's fellowship, great gathering, men representing various denominations and life experiences. You'll fit in great, and Stephen McCleary will bring you up to speed, regardless of whether you've had formal training or can read music or can stay in pitch. We'll work as a team, and it'll be a beautiful sound. So Monday nights at the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square. If you need more information, call the station, 217-367-7777. And we'll close out with the Singing Men of GNN singing, "Rise Up, O Men of God." Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Rise up, O